Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for tuning into the Unicorn Finders, where I am joined by my best friends, Jake Shepherd in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Daniel Thompson. And Dan, is it sunny in Florida?
Today it is.
Good. And sunny Tampa Bay, Florida. Thanks for joining again, guys. I appreciate it.
I like how you looked up to your ceiling to know if it was sunny.
Well, outside. I have windows right on the other side of this this here computer monitor, and it's letting me know that it's bright and sunny. But you're always probably like, it's always bright and sunny in Tampa, Florida, and it's not. last week we had rain for like 6 days straight, so that ruined my feng shui. But we're back. We're back at it again.
I love it. Well, we are all rocking the. The printed floral. Looks like we're about to go finish this podcast episode and hang out at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Excellent. We take the boat there.
That sounds good. We got margaritas. I'm in.
Yeah. So this specific episode, I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys on this one and talking about this because this is a little bit more tactical. If you're listening and you're not in sales or recruiting, I still think continue to listen. But this episode is going to be a little bit peel behind the onion on how Jake, Dan, and I have pivoted a little bit, not a little bit, a lot of it, during COVID. I had a conversation on my personal podcast, Guidance Counselor 2.0, with a restaurant chef here in Nashville. We kind of talked about how restaurants need to be mindful moving forward on obviously, navigating this time, but also post-COVID, right? I think business in general is going to change. My friend and I kind of broke that down, and that got me thinking for this podcast, like, man, I haven't even asked Jake, haven't even asked Dan how they've pivoted their business. Because I know I've specifically done some things. So again, this episode, a little bit more targeted more for the recruiting, the sales industry. But I still think if you are a job seeker or someone who is not in the recruiting industry, this is a good behind the scenes podcast for you to learn really how we do things and to be mindful when you work with recruiters or salespeople moving forward. So I'll go and kick it off with Dan. Dan, just would love to hear your thoughts. Has it been business as usual? If it's been business as usual, great. If not, I'd obviously love to hear some things that you've changed up.
Yeah, no, it's certainly not business as usual. I mean, we're fortunate enough in the business that the three of us are in the technology side of the house, that it wasn't impacted nearly as much as some of the other lines of business in the business world are concerned. But it wasn't business as usual. Things change, and that's where being nimble, that's where listening to your clients is important. So, what we were doing is we shifted away from a lot of new, application development and a lot of new projects that were kind of special projects and back into kind of what I consider like core IT, support, right? What are we doing now? All of a sudden, our company, our 500 person company that has always been on site is now no longer on site, right? How do we make sure that we have support? How do we make sure that things are secure? How do we make sure that productivity is up? How do we make sure that they know how to communicate and can work well? How do we keep our company culture together using technology and everything else? So we helped a lot of companies iterate in that regard. And a lot of that was about finding, a lot of your systems engineers, network engineers, and support folks that are there. But I mean, it wasn't business as usual in terms of positions that we were filling, but I would say that as business as usual for me and my business, because it was a lot about, listening to what my clients wanted and then just pivoting, our search. But it definitely was a trying time, to say the least.
For sure. Dan, let me ask you this. I mean, from a, was your book of business in Tampa was a little bit more like application development focused? I mean, is it switching to the infrastructure and support side? Is that a business shift for your entire department, or is that just kind of what you've seen with your book of business?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's across the board. I mean, maybe you guys are seeing some things differently, and certainly there's been a number of different, I'm going to use the word again, even though I don't want to, iterations during COVID, right? Because you had, you had the holy crap, what just happened, to the holy crap, like, not only do we not know what just happened, what are we gonna have to do with our business, to, oh, maybe we've stabilized, maybe we've figured out new ways to drive revenue or bring revenue in, or people are still spending the money, we're not gonna change. to what projects are too big to fail. So there's a lot of different parts that went into this. And I felt like every week was part of that like storming, norming, and performing thing when we talk about like team development. But that's how it was. It was like, oh crap, what happened? How do we adapt to it? And then how do we make it work? And so, you know, we're about, 40, 45% app dev, and that dropped to probably, 10, 15% during this time. Yeah. And, infrastructure, which was probably 35 to 40% of our business, that shifted to about 70 or 80, or, probably 50 to 60% of our business. And then you had your functional role. So, there was definitely changes, but it's no different than what we see throughout the year as, you follow a lot of project development life cycles and everything else. So, our team was used to changing and, kind of dropping, one thing to shift focus on some other things, but I'll be completely honest with you, Taylor and Jake, we didn't change that much in terms of the way that we did things because we knew that app dev was going to come back around and here we are. And now when our clients are saying, hey, we need app dev help, now we've got people that can help, right? I had a client call today and say, hey, we need people. And all of a sudden we're able to build out this project team for them. And that's likely going to get deployed next week. So like being there to always follow the same model that we've always been is something that we wanted to make sure that we stayed focused no matter how the business shifted.
Storming, norming, and performing. I tell you what, the Danisms are just glorious. That was amazing. I love that a ton. So, I mean, Jake, I love to hear your thoughts, from a Raleigh side of things. I mean, has it been business usual? I mean, some sidebar conversations, obviously your business is still surging. For those of you who are listening, Jake crushed a sales seminar yesterday for our entire Vaco Technology, division. So, I mean, Jake, I want to hear your thoughts on kind of what it's been and kind of some things you or your team has shifted in doing.
Yeah, I mean, we're month three, now going into this. The first wave really just came down to just doubling down on some of the human aspect of the way that we do business, and what that is that, holy crap, people are just feeling off right now. Why don't we just got to be human first and kind of dive in and just with empathy, really true. Hey, this is going to be weird. What are you seeing out there? What are you feeling like, is this shift, and kind of throwing that unlicensed therapist hat on, a little bit more. And really what a good unlicensed therapist does is just ask questions and listen, and some people just need to talk things out, right? So for us, it was definitely a time to continue to deepen existing relationships and be kind of an ear and a sounding board for them, as well as be introduced to new players that needed that as well. It's kind of motto or a theme of how we're doing business anyway, because it's people first on a lot of things. Now, as far as where we are in the Raleigh-Durham market, we have huge pharma presence, so that stayed pretty well. We have really, medical tech, just in general, telehealth and things. We've got that here now. We've got a pretty solid e-commerce site. So obviously that has doing really well. And then you've got a few kind of recession proof things, around these big insurance, MetLife has moved down here and things like that. And Fidelity and some of these much bigger companies that are just like, hey, we got to keep pressing forward, so trying to bridge that gap between allowing those bigger companies and smaller companies to kind of help each other out during that, that's been a little bit more my focus.
I love that. Jake, Dan, would you say, and I'll let Dan answer this first, what would you say this time has made you listen more to your clients?
What'd you say?
That was good.
That was good.
I think so. I think a lot of times clients wanted us to listen, but for the first time, I don't want to say for the first time it felt super advisory, but for a lot of it, I had clients really wanting to listen to me, right? Like the business that we're in, sometimes it's like, hey, you're just the recruiter, you're just the sales guy. Like you can tell us about the market, but like ultimately this is what we need. I had a lot of clients reaching out to me and saying, hey, what are you doing? What are your other clients doing? Can you ask them if they can share information, right? They may not have it, right? There's, Tampa is a somewhat progressive, but not completely progressive city when it comes to some of this work from home stuff and work 2.0, I guess. And so, you know, we were sharing standard operating procedures. We were sharing, you know, internal documentation that other people were using. So this was a time that a lot of clients were coming to me, you know, so yes, I was listening to what their needs were and everything else, but a lot of them, hey, what are you using as a communication tool, or what are your clients using as communication? What are you doing for cloud? What are you doing for hosting? What are you doing for this, that, the other thing, right? Because all of these companies had to ramp up really quickly. And unless you, for some, you know, weird reason, had this as part of your like disaster recovery or your, you know, future planning or emergency planning, then you might have been left completely, you know, with your hands left wide open, and things happen so quickly. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the Thursday to the following Thursday, from when the NBA canceled their, or put their season on hold that Thursday to the following Thursday, the universe like shut down completely. So in 7 days, two of which were the weekend, what were you doing? And so I felt like a lot of times they were starting to listen to me, and we were able to have some really good conversations because of it.
That's awesome. Jake, has this time caused you to lean in a little bit more and be intentional from a listening perspective?
Yeah, I mean, really what we adopted was a lot more of a, if we can do right, let's do it, and listening for those cues, you know, from the, you know, stealing it from the PETA side of things, but the conscious capitalism thing of just being focused on what we use our dollars for, you know, and that's been really, really fun to work with like my software engineering team or other vendors here in the area that are like, all right, let's just go all hands on deck and start listening to places that we can help our community. You know, so we've made introductions for completely free about, hey, this person can help you build all of a sudden an online presence, so this brick and mortar can stay alive, you know, during this. And, you know, and just really trying to just, because I'm so thankful that we had that luxury being able to lead into us because of the success that we had previously had and the amazing clients and consultants that we have, that we were able to kind of pause ourselves and be more of a band-aid, I guess, to the open room.
And I think part of it is like the business that we're in, you know, Jake, you do a lot of, on the software development side. You still do like some staff aug and other stuff too outside of that. But a lot of what you do is in the cloud and stuff like that. But I don't have particular products to push, right? Like neither of us sell a product. We sell services and we sell solutions, but we don't have a product. So I don't care if Zoom, Teams, Google Hangout, whatever it is, I don't care who you spend your money with, but here's a couple people that you can talk to. So this is where me having that network that was open to share with other people was really beneficial. And that's why I've always said like my goal in life is to be, you know, 2 inches deep and 2 miles wide in terms of my knowledge, but that's also in terms of the number of people that I know as well. So that way, if a company calls and says, hey, Dan, who do you know that knows, you know, about Zoom implementation or about, you know, Azure implementation or AWS or Office 365, or, hey, do you know the salesperson that can help me here or do that? It's like, I've now feel like I was that advisor to them, during this time.
No, and I love that. So I guess my next question is, and I've struggled with this, right? To be totally open and honest. Well, actually I haven't even answered really.
I was about to ask you the question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, sorry. I just love hearing y'all kind of share this information.
Stop interviewing us. You're part of this.
I know. So the first thing, I mean, and I've been, and again, I think this is what's so cool, us three hanging out every week, kind of sharing our differences, because I think Jake, Dan, you approach things a little bit more advisory. And while I do too, mine's a little bit more from just pure kind of branding side of things, right? So I think a few things that I've spun up during COVID, or during this time rather, is, you know, the first thing is moving my lunch meetup to 100% virtual Zoom call. So I'm having it next week. I'm keeping it very small, intentional, the same. I actually capped it to 5 people last month. And then it started to gain some chatter, and I've actually booked it in a week for 10 people. And so I'm having that next week, Zoom call, roundtable conversation. It's allowed me to, instead of meeting software engineers here in Nashville, the last call I had, Rob Zelt from Raleigh on my call. I had one of my guys that was in Nashville, who's now in Houston. He was on the call. And like, so that's really cool to be able to become more of an advocate to developers across the country than just Nashville. So that's been really cool. Yeah. One of the things that spun up with during this time is this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, this time has allowed us to get a lot more work done at home, allow us to maybe add some things to our plates like this podcast. So that's one of the things that I spun up as well. And I would say the final thing is, and I'm going to be totally frank and totally honest here, it's really allowed me to focus on my consultants. And I know it's a bad thing to say, but that's just something I've always struggled with. I think in this industry, it's more. You need to meet more people. Yeah. You need to make more placements. Jake, I think you have this figured out great too. And Dan, I'm sure you do as well. But it's like taking care of the people taking care of you, right? And I think that was an old Scott, that's a Scott Gordon quote. But I have not done well with that historically, and I'm trying to get better. The first thing I'm doing is just calling just to check in. It was so funny. Yeah. I made my first round of calls last Friday, and all my consultants go, "Is something wrong?" And it's like, no, nothing's wrong. I'm actually trying to do my job better and do it and just to check in. And what's been cool, you know, if you're in sales or recruiting, you know, I was able to get leads out of it. I found out a developer was interviewing that wasn't in my network, and I hit him up on LinkedIn, and I found out that, well, there may actually be another position coming down the pipe that my salesperson didn't even know about. And so that's been really cool from like a tactical recruiting perspective that I've been able to implement.
During this time, Taylor, sorry to interrupt you. I think during this time, people literally didn't know what to do. Like, nobody knew what to do, right? Like, this is the first time any of us have ever gone through anything at this stage ever, right? I mean, the United States economy shut down for 8 weeks. And so for the first time, I think we saw a lot of people come together that didn't know. I felt like during this time, people are a lot more open to listening to other people. I think people were open to suggestions. I think people were frankly nicer for the most part. I think people had apathy. I think that there was a lot, and I think weirdly it brought a lot of people together to try to figure out, hey, what can we do to try to solve, you know, today, right? That's what we thought about for 6 weeks, right? Today. I need to get through today. I need to get through tomorrow. I need to get through the rest of this week, right? And then I'll address whatever's coming next week, but I need to get through today first. And so that's what I found. And I had a lot of people that usually take a couple days, a couple weeks to get back to me, whatever it might be, were responding back, and they're curious to see how I was doing. Everybody was like, how are you doing? What are you doing to stay safe? And so I felt like that opened up a lot of really good conversations during this time. I'm not sure if you guys saw it as well.
I know my neighbors way better than I did, you know, 3 months ago. That is for sure.
That's awesome.
That's been really cool. Turns out we're all in tech, so that's also what's really cool. Like everybody. So that's pretty fun. But yeah,
I think it's allowed, and this kind of goes into my next question as well. Jake, of course your neighbors are daggum and tech folk. That just makes sense with you. That's not surprising to me whatsoever. You probably have already placed them or gotten them a job or something, or gotten business out of it. And please don't say yes or no. If you say yes, I'll just be that much more frustrated at you with how well you've done this year. But basically, judging by your grin, you already have. So I guess the next thing is, I know a lot of salespeople have struggled with this, and I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on how do I sell right now? During this time, right? I mean, right now, the country is in probably not the best shape it's been in from a overall, from an economic side of things, from an overall vibe side of things, right? You know, there's a lot of hate going on, and it just kind of seems like work can fall to the wayside. So I'm interested on some tactics, and Dan, we'll kick it off with you first. I'm interested to hear some tactics maybe to help that have allowed you to sell better, because I think a lot of people don't want to go for the ask right now. And in my opinion, you probably need to get more creative than just going for the ask right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have any thoughts, and if you need a moment to think about it, I can go to Jake, but.
No, I have it only because I kind of touched on it last time. I think people needed to display empathy. I think people needed to listen. I think people need to be solution driven, right? So all three of those things that we've talked about over the last 15 minutes or so are the three things that have allowed me to sell, right? First, I'm not going in for a hard sale. Second, I'm listening to what's going on with your business. Not all businesses suffer during this time. I mean, there's a lot, logistics, e-commerce, stuff like that. I mean, they exploded, right? So for some of them, they had to spend money. They had to ramp up, right? A lot of companies that were going remote that didn't have the resources, they needed to spend that money. So, you know, a lot of people are like, don't sell during this time. It's like, No, you can still sell if you're offering a service that's beneficial to them, right? Like that's why salespeople exist. And that's why products and services exist, to help you find solutions. And that leads to the third point, is if you can come in because you did those first two things and say, hey, this is what I can offer to you as a solution. And yeah. Sometimes that solution is, hey, I can connect you with somebody that can help, right? Or I can help you fill that need on your help desk role or your systems engineers role or your cloud roles, whatever it is, because you helped provide that, you're helping them too, right? Like that's part of why they reach out to you. And part of the reason they listen to you is because they have problems. You can help them come up with a solution. But if you just did this very, very hard sell of like, well, I have this candidate, he's not going to be on the market unless you move today. Companies were like, all right, bro, like our company might not be around next week. Right. Yeah. So, but if you took it the opposite way of saying, hey, what can we do to help you? Yeah. And like I said, I did so much stuff that was non-revenue generating at the time that's going to probably generate revenue because we brought them something that they needed during a time of utter confusion.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pivot, you know, a pivot we made multiple times in the first couple of weeks of this, is that we basically gave it away at cost, this feature of cloud, of remote readiness. So I used a few of my C-level friends that were, you know, had already made their money or they're out of work or whatever, you know, just who are like consulting, and made introductions to specifically, especially non-technical companies, but some software companies weren't even ready, that they don't have the most robust VPN, or they didn't have any of the security around that, or their access was off or whatever. And they had no idea. So in their mind, they're like, we're just going to shut down our whole company because we can't work in our office. You know, it's a lot of law firms around here and stuff. So we were able to help them at cost, just keep business going, you know, so that way they could keep people employed instead of needlessly shutting them down. The work was there. They just didn't have the ability to do it because of the new restrictions based on the pandemic. You know, so that was kind of probably our more creative pivot.
I'm gonna rehash that. So you were giving away, you were making introductions without charging people.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
So that just makes sense, and no wonder why you've literally doubled up Dan and I's GM for the year. That's just so good. I mean, it's so good. But
not everything's a deal. Everything comes back around later. If you think what's going to happen 3 to 5 years from now, like, this is a company I really believe in. I think it's really cool. I like the product or the people or whatever. I have it in my right and my ability to help them. Mm-hmm. And I should. That's my responsibility. It's right. Similar to, I mean, what we can talk about on our panel next week, but it's similar to the fact of like recognizing our privilege and how are we helping, you know, instead of contributing. You know, this is the same kind of mentality, just having more than you need and giving it away.
Right. Like, I think that's the next level of thought, Taylor. And I know you want to talk. So if you want to say, I think that's the next level of thought, is when you realize that not everything has to generate revenue at that point, and that you have access to knowledge and people, services, products, whatever it is, to help people, that you don't have to look at, okay, well, how does that affect my bottom line today?
Yep.
It's just like when you're talking to candidates, like we talked about a few episodes ago, is just because you don't place them the first time you meet them doesn't mean to just like throw them away and, you know, just say sayonara forever. It's, well, what can I do for you today that can help you today? What can I do to help you tomorrow, next week, get through, you know, this crisis or whatever it is? And then maybe they'll come back to you, or maybe you just did a really good deed and like your environment is better now, right? Your tech environment in Raleigh or Nashville or Tampa are now better because a company was able to deploy something that helped that business stay around and continue to, you know, move forward.
So I'm interested, Dan, where does that come from? Like, where does the motivation of wanting, and Jake, you're next, where does that come from? Because a lot of people are like, man, that sounds so good. How do I do that? And I think a lot of it you can't teach, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts on what's motivating. I don't know. Like, how did you get ingrained with that?
Well, I think part of it is looking at what my job is as a solution provider, more than just my job is selling candidates or picking up a job order, right? That's where it comes to me buying into my job, right, in my career, because I can look at it and say, hey, you do this business, you make enough cold calls, cold emails, build enough relationships. Over 2 to 3 years, if you do a good job, you almost become like an order taker at a restaurant, right? Like, hey, do you want your web forms developer with or without fries, right? So you can, that's what it can become. Or it can be, hey, Dan, I've got a question. Of your clients that you're talking to, are they doing Zoom? Are they doing Skype? Or what are the options that they're doing? Because we need to deploy something today, right? Yep. We're a 100-person company that has never allowed remote work. And all of a sudden, starting on Tuesday of next week, everybody needs to be remote. What do I do, right? So that changed for me when I probably was probably 12 months in this business, when I looked at it and said, hey, I can be an order taker, I can be a solution provider. And that's a lot easier said than done, right? But that comes from listening, being genuinely interested in what you're doing and in the job that you're doing. And then second is knowing that you can help provide resources. And sometimes that's, hey, I met an awesome .NET candidate, or hey, did you hear about this really cool software? Or hey, are you going to this networking or meeting, or are you going to this conference or whatever it might be? It's being interested in them and their careers, and you being interested in investing in your own. And then all of a sudden that line is now blurred between you just being, you know, some sort of like vendor that provides, you know, contract or direct hire resources to, oh, holy crap, Dan has a base of, I don't know, 500 contacts that are in the IT industry, you know, far more than, you know, I can put you in direct contact with the CIO of probably 5 of the 10 largest companies in Tampa within a day, right? Like, that's not to brag, that's 7 years of building that relationship that, you know, if you're a CIO somewhere, maybe they'll respond, but if they haven't heard your name, it might, you know, muddy the waters. I'd be more than happy to connect every CIO in Tampa together to say, hey, let's create an ecosystem. So it's thinking about the big picture of it.
So good.
It's a really long answer, but
so good, Jake. I mean, you just like nodding over there too. So
yeah, I mean, the to continue to feed into the ecosystem, you know, there's been probably a dozen times in the last 3 or 4 years at least that I've introduced one client to another because that client's solution is going to be great for this other client. Like, they're building this software product that solves the problem of this other client that I'd been talking to for 6 months. They've been trying to solve this problem, you know, and it, just keeping that cycle of just being attentive to being helpful is, it's just rewarding and it's actually helpful.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, I mean, I think the common theme with us is being passionate, caring, wanting to create a better city.
Yeah.
You know, where we work. You know, for me on my end, it's really caring about the people. I think a lot of times, and it's tough because there are some people on my team who care almost too, like, just they care a lot, like a lot. And like it kind of overwhelms them. You know, in this environment, because you can't, at the end of the day, we can only help so many people. I mean, it really, we meet 500 people a year. We only place like around 10%, right? So that's 50 people. What are you doing with the other 450 people? I mean, we just, but I think I'll never, and I tell my team this, I'll never change the fact that you care too much, because I think that's what makes recruiters special. I think that's what makes salespeople special, is that you genuinely care about what an organization is doing, right? Dan, hey, what are you doing now? How can I help? Because I feel like a lot of salespeople right now are going in for the ask and not even saying, how can I help, right? Hey, listen, Mr. Manager, I know your budget's been on hold for the rest of the year. Is there anything I can do to help? Just even free, can I make intros? Like free of charge, like I'm not gonna bill you anything. Just how can I help? And I think people aren't even willing to do that, because I think salespeople in general, especially recruiters, are so short-sighted that if they're not able to get an ROI out of it immediately, then it's just kind of like, nah, forget it.
Right.
And that trickle comes from the top down too, where you're just like, hey, if you don't make 200 calls this week, you're fired. You don't close 10, you don't close 10 deals this month, you're gone. You know, and that kind of like sales cycle, that's not a management style, that's just a work camp. just not how people work. You know, I mean, the goal in a lot of these software companies and sales is that they don't want you there for life. You get too expensive if you're there beyond 2 years.
Yeah.
I need to close X amount in 2 years, and then I need you to graduate from us and go do something else, or I'm going to let you go because you didn't. I moved your goal and you didn't hit it, and bye. You know, that is the standard software as a service sales team model.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you think about it, you know, I always say that this can kind of be the demise of recruiters too, is because we work in recruiting. So like all we do is think about recruiting all day. And then we sometimes forget that hiring managers that we deal with, this is like 5% of their job. Right. And it's like, why did they get back to us today? Like what could possibly be more important than looking at my, you know, COBOL web forms, hybrid developer, right?
Good Lord, Dan, what type of tech are you working out in Tampa?
Tampa. Yeah. Big Raymond James here. No, you know, but so I think that can be the demise, but also I think if you pitch that in the right way to your clients when you're talking, not pitch as in a sales pitch, but in a, hey, all I do all day, literally every day, is talk to managers, directors, VPs, CIOs, CTOs, managing directors, whatever they might be, of people that are in the same business, same industry, that ultimately have the same type of goal that you have as you in that role, right? So if I can connect you to another app dev manager, I'd be more than happy to do it. If I need to connect you to a CIO that's worked in the insurance space, I can do that, right? If I need to connect you to, you know, a network engineering manager that, you know, deployed a, you know, a new, you know, Palo Alto firewall system or whatever it might be, because they, you know, are now all doing remote work. Like I can connect you that might otherwise be a very difficult task. So that's what I've been trying to say. Hey, like if you need help, I don't know how to deploy a firewall, but I know somebody that does, right? I don't know how to do web forms, but I know a bunch of people that do, right? Yeah. I don't know how to do X, but I can connect you to those people, right? Because life isn't about what you know, it's about who you know, right, in this business. But I also say it's who knows you, right? So like going out, making good, positive relationships, good, meaningful relationships, is I can call the CIO of Tech Data and he's going to call me back, right? Like that's a $60 billion company or whatever they are, the, you know, largest company here in Tampa, that came from years of a relationship of saying, hey, I want to help you in more ways than just, hey, can I give you a, you know, a product manager today?
Yeah. That, yeah, I mean, we did this cycle here is that good friend of mine, now good friend, I'm thankful for him, Hirsch Tapadia here locally, he has a company called AllStacks, which is fantastic, like monitor the health of your dev team tool, by the way, shameless plug for him. But they had just hit SOC 2 compliance, which is really difficult to get as you're scaling your company. You know, it's really difficult. You have to show X amount of data and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, well, I talked to multiple other companies that were, you know, sub 30 people that were going through that round and they were stuck on that. So I called Hirsch and was like, how did you guys do that? Would you talk to some other founders of some companies here? You know, if you spend 20, 30 minutes, give them some tips on what they're doing. They're not direct competitors. You know, they're just similar stage companies, you know, and he's more awesome than I am and more giving than I am. So he was more than willing to do it, you know, and those companies got to benefit from it. One of them already knew that guy and they were like, oh yeah, I should just call him. It's great. You know, it's just
so I'm interested. So yeah, I mean the common theme, it's really cool. And again, I just love talking with you guys because y'all get it. You're essentially giving away.
Give it away.
Right. It's saying, hey, like now question, Jake, did any business come out of those introductions with those SOC companies?
Oh yeah. I think I ended up placing like six people at that one of the companies I helped get SOC to.
See,
maybe just five. Because you made a free intro.
I mean, I didn't even think about it being connected, you know?
Yeah.
They weren't a client at the time. They were someone that I really loved their product. Oh, frankly, I wanted to invest in their product, you know, and I did, you know, but there's this full life cycle of like, well, shoot. All right. You need talent to execute. I also love your product. I want to invest in it. All right. Well, I'm also going to find the best people because now I'm invested in this and right. You kind of just keep the cycle going.
So good.
Like, I think part of that is like a commitment to like your ecosystem as well. Right. And like, for me, for the three of us, we all love our respective areas. We're all heavily invested in wanting the success of that. So like whatever I can do to make sure that tech companies and companies in general are creating the best ecosystem possible. Yes. Like I have no problem connecting you with a great IT audit firm called 360 Advance, because like I don't control Vaco's IT audit. So, but I have a relationship with them. I've heard great things about them. Here's a connection, right? Yeah. Like that's not something that I'm going to use, but I have the connection and the leverage to get you guys connected, right? So if I can do that, and if I can get companies here working together, creating solving problems, creating solutions together, like that to me is more important. I'm not naive enough to think that I'm ever going to have this unbelievably large market share of the staff aug world in Tampa. But if I can help make Tampa better and it attracts more companies and attracts talent, then that helps me in the long run. But ultimately, like I live here, right? I have a house here. I'm going to live here for probably the rest of my life. So if I can create a better environment for it, then that's worth it to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the pivot, right? If we're talking about COVID, I think that it's caused so many more people to just focus on the community, focus on the, hey, I might not be right in front of you, but we're neighbors and we're going to like, how are we going to help keep our community strong? You know, because it's so divisive anyway, but one of the things that we know we want to keep everyone alive. That's
good. I love that.
We want to make sure that people are not getting depressed and isolated and frankly killing themselves because they're not near anybody.
No, absolutely.
These are important community issues that we've just kind of just made part of the DNA of how we do our everyday business. And then now that COVID came, it's like, all right, we got to double down on really our core beliefs on why we do this business. You know, so just, all right, let's go. And then hopefully by doing that, we can encourage more people to have that same outlook.
I love that. So would you say, so to wrap it up, here, would you say that if you're new into sales during this time, would you suggest to give away everything for free? I mean, realistically, as much as you feasibly can?
You can get paid so much more in other ways than money. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just knowledge. Sometimes it's hey, will you share my LinkedIn post and I'll introduce you to five people? Like sometimes it's just building brand. I mean, there's so many other ways that are helpful just by the value. So yeah. Give it away.
What's the point of a network if you're not going to use it, right? I mean, yeah,
so good.
I may not ever own a company that needs an IT audit firm, but I know some, so I'll connect you with them. I may not, you know, ever need, you know, I don't know, business insurance, but I'll connect you with somebody that does, right? Like I'm a part of a boat club and I don't ever plan on owning a boat, so I'll connect you with a guy that I know does like boat detailing, right? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
If I'm not going to use them and you have the need for it and I know the person, right? So like people, my friends always make fun of me because I always want to have people in like every avenue of life. Like if I have a good experience with you, then absolutely I'm going to share it with you. And then you look at me and be like, oh yeah, that Dan fella, he connected me with some good people, right?
Yeah. And like with me, I was in Sweden, made friends with this wine buyer and we had $5,000 of wine in one night. Right. And now I'm friends with him on Instagram, you know? And he goes, whenever you come to Sweden again, he goes, I have a country, you know, out in the country, I have a house out in the country you can stay at. So you just never know. Just it being kind is a very underrated skill set. Very underrated skill set. So, all right, boys. Well, so we're going to end it on a question, but I don't know the question. So what is there anything that you guys have been like watching or do we have any questions that we can ask?
What have you cooked? What's the most elaborate thing you've cooked during quarantine?
All righty. Peanut butter and jelly. No. I actually cooked something the other day. So it was actually Mother's Day. So, it was kind of like first Mother's Day for my wife. You know, we're having our first kid in like 5-6 weeks. And basically wanted to do dinner. So I used, grilled pork chop with a homemade, pesto. That it was an arugula basil pesto with, a roasted cauliflower and, a Szechuan style green beans from a Bon Appetit recipe. And then that's all I cook with is Bon Appetit recipes. And then I made a gluten-free pistachio crumb dessert.
Jeez.
With homemade whipped cream and strawberries.
Who's How next? Many dishes did you use to make that meal? That's what
it took me 3 hours. I'm the slowest cooker. It literally took me 3 hours to do it. It wasn't miserable, but it was brutal trying to time everything out.
It was love. That's what it was.
It was love. What about y'all?
Nothing. Like, I can't compare. who says all of that? Like, I don't know.
All right, I broke Dan. Jake, have you made anything interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I make dinner a lot. I'll be honest with you, I went out to dinner a lot. I was trying to support the local economy here. I mean, I've made like, gosh, I'm speechless.
Well then, Dan, what's the best meal that you've had recently? Going out or at home?
Oh man, I went to Eulalie, which is a restaurant here in Tampa, a couple weeks ago, and they have a pompano, which is like a white fish. It's fantastic, but it has like a very, very, very light breading on it. And it has this unbelievably good sauce that they put on it. And then it comes with risotto and like flash fried carrots. No joke, top five meal I've ever had in my life.
And what was the restaurant called?
It's called Eulalie.
Eulalie?
Yeah, it's okay. Named after a
like ukulele, like, but no K's?
No, definitely not named after ukulele. It's named after a mythical Native American princess. So,
oh, cool.
You got like Pocahontas.
No, she was real. Jake, what about you, buddy?
Let's see. Dude, I didn't think it was going to be this hard to answer this question.
Yeah, I love how JK's question.
It's because of Taylor's like answer. There's nothing you can do. Taylor. If he was like, oh, I made like a tortellini dish, it's like, oh, okay, like I can do something like that. Like I made Korean dip bap a couple weeks ago, but like
I made these really good cheeseburgers the other day.
Did you?
Very good.
Yeah. Were they homemade? Like the ground beef? Were they like, is it homemade?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't pre-patted?
No.
Oh,
you never do pre-patty.
Yeah. Well, my chef friend, buy his pre-patty and they're incredible. But
that's a little bit different.
That's not technically pre-patty.
I'll be honest with you guys. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. I prefer homemade burgers so much more than restaurant burgers. I don't purposefully go out and order a hamburger at a restaurant.
Everywhere.
Really?
You what?
The first thing I order at most restaurants, if they have one, is the cheeseburger. Because I need to see if they can't make a really, really good cheeseburger, it's pretty unlikely. And they have it on the menu. It's pretty unlikely the rest of their stuff is like really, really, really good.
So they should try some of the other stuff and determine if it's good or not.
No, I'm doing both.
Jake's ordering two entrees every time he comes out.
I forgot how much money you make. That's right.
All right, boys. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging with y'all. Can't wait to do it again.
Bye.
Bye.
'Oh, that shit was funny. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to this episode of the Unicorn Finders. If you found any of that interesting or helpful at all, please share it with your friends. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or want to be a part of our podcast, be sure to email us at info@theunicornfinders.com.
And while you're at it, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe us 5 stars and share it with a friend or two. We'll see you next week.